conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yesterday, James Click, before the game, this was encouraging. This one was pretty encouraging. When asked about how active the Astros are going to be at the trade deadline, here is our general manager.
Yeah, with the schedule now, with the draft as late as it is, it creates some new challenges for a lot of us. We have been doing everything we can to get the trade market moving, but a lot of teams focused on the draft for the past week or so. Now that we're through it, we are continuing to work the phones. Last night, this morning, probably during the games today, we are putting all the balls in the air. We are going to be as aggressive as we possibly can because we think that this team has a chance to do something really special, and our job is to give them what they need in order to complete that.
Totally sweet. Totally sweet. I'd love to hear that. Now, whether or not it's going to be, whether or not that's going to happen, are they going to be ultra aggressive, like with a big name catcher, first baseman, outfielder? Or are they going to be, you know, a relief pitcher? Need a relief pitcher here. That to me is not ultra aggressive. Oh, I love that. I didn't see that. Did you see the Bregman and Yordan back to back looking at the camera thing?
I didn't see that.
Oh, that was cool. ESPN is showing it right now. The back to back homers, the back to back shots by Alvarez and Bregman, and in the dugout. You know how Bregman used to look at the camera
before AJ Hinch snipped him at in the guillons, as you would say.
Right. Yeah, he went before he took his guillons away. Yeah. Bregman and Yordan both turned back-to-back, looked at the camera. That's totally sweet.
Is Bregman
sweet.
Back? Is that swagger?
I was at the game, so that I couldn't
Speaking of, you talk about Deshaun and his Samson and Delilah no massage thing. Is the Bregman swagger the Samson for him?
It seems like it's back.
Yeah.
It does seem like it's back. He's grown his hair out. And does seem like he's back. Let's see what happens with James Click. I like to call him Jim because we're buddies. He called me, you know.
He tell you to watch it?
Well, he said, hey, can you not say what you said?
That's a great call to get.
The one time I got a call from the Astros GM, it was, hey, can you not? That was.
We're gonna need you.
We don't agree with what you said. It's like, well, I'm sorry. He also gave an update on Michael Brantley. This was also extremely, extremely positive.
Michael's continuing to progress. Unfortunately, right now the best medicine is time, and sometimes we just kind of have to wait for everything to calm down, the inflammation to calm down in the shoulder, but. You know, he continues to make good progress. We don't have a timetable at this point, but Michael's a gamer. He knows what he needs to do. He's a veteran. He knows how to get himself in shape. And so he's continuing to do that. It's just taking a little bit longer than we wanted.
And then I think they went on to ask, you know, hey, you know, there were rumors out there. He's like, no, he's going to be back sooner rather than later, which was a positive, Now, what about Castro? Now, this one isn't as pressing. To me.
Oh, you don't miss Jason Castro that much?
Hey, Corey Lee had a big double yesterday.
He did.
I mean, I don't know how the guys like to throw to Corey Lee. He's just a rookie. He's got to be making his way. His eyes got to be bigger than, plates out there because he's, you know, just a rookie trying to make his way in the big leagues. But he came through yesterday in a big way. Now, what about Castro and when he'll be back?
Jason is making some decisions about what the best plan of attack is to get himself back in playing shape. We're continuing to talk to him about that. We should have hopefully some more information on that soon, but we don't have any right now.
Jason is making some decisions on getting himself back into playing shape. That's interesting.
Are we talking about a potential retirement?
Are we talking about Zion, where he just eating himself out of the league?
I don't see Jason Castro as that. He may say, hey, it's not really worth this.
I've been sucking. I mean, I've been.
It's not fun going to the ballpark.
No, it's not fun when you're hitting the way he is this year. Certainly. You know, Jason Castro was a big part of last year with his pinch hits, and he came up with some huge hits late in games last year. This year, it's just not happening for him. He and Yuli, it just doesn't seem. It seems like they're on. You know, maybe everything has caught up to him. But it's not as pressing to get him back as much as it is Brantley. Although, man, big ups to he has really, really struggled. Chaz McCormick has. So for him to have the game that he had yesterday, even though he struck out in the ninth inning of the first game, to homer and to have a few hits like he did yesterday, that was awful nice to see because, you want your guys to succeed. He got sent down. He was really, really bad. He was really, really struggling. So for him to come up with some hits yesterday, that was great. That was great. Even still, though, you'd rather have Brantley back. Brantley is a much more pressing need than having Castro back. There's no question about that. And you'd like to have Uncle Mike's back and bat in the lineup along with Benintendi. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying?
That's all I'm saying.
The Corey Lee thing, we're speculating. It was interesting just to hear how James Click described the Castro stuff. That if last year of his deal, struggling, injured, if you get Corey Lee as many at bats as you can throughout the rest of the year, and he plays in the postseason, then you're like, you know what? Maybe we have a guy ready coming. I know we love Machete. But we have a potential offensive catcher for the future, and it's kind of not a bad test run for him, particularly with Castro's injury, just to see. And if Jason Castro decides, maybe this is it for me, it's nice to get Corey Lee at bats right now.
Is Castro sitting around eating pizzas? And
I don't know if he's getting fat. He may not just want.
Well, he's got to get him to decide whether if he's going to get in shape or not.
Well, baseball. What is baseball shape, by the way? I've seen a lot of baseball players, and I'm like, that's an athlete?
Yeah, yeah.
So what is baseball shape? He's a catcher, so there is some stress on his knees and his lower body. But what's baseball shape that he needs to get into? Put down the Pringles for a week? What?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if Jason Castro's just been sitting around smoking heaters and and throwing down pizzas. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know that.
You don't know what he's doing?
No idea.
He could be just sitting around. No one knows what JC Castro has been doing. So hopefully he's going to get himself in baseball shape or not.
He's making that decision.
Yeah. He's got and then after that, then he's got to get himself in shape. It's going to take a little while.
Yeah. He's not at the point where he's made a decision yet. And then if he makes it, he'll get into shape. And then we might see him in October, I guess. I don't know how long that takes.
No idea. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're more than welcome to get in here with us. Alex Bregman after the game. This was before the game, wasn't it? On the two games against the Yankees, when was that? 713-780-3776. There is one story we haven't gotten to. Joe LaCava. This is unusual. This is unusual that Joe LaCava would talk, because usually Tiger's caddies don't. Tiger doesn't like his caddy to talk. That's why Fluff was gone. That's why Williams was gone.
He's like an immigrant parent. Seen, not heard from.
Well,
him,
that's he actually is. I mean, I'm the one out there winning all these majors and golf tournaments, and you're talking. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
for what? For who?
Yeah.
Why are you talking?
Joe LaCava's got a lot of stake. Joe LaCava was Freddie's caddy before he took over for Tiger. They're perfect together. I think he really likes Joe LaCava, and Joe LaCava was talking about that Tiger ain't coming back. He ain't coming back until. What is it? The Hero Challenge, which is in November, late October, November, somewhere around there. So Tiger's gonna hang out. He says, "I'm just gonna," and he said, "I told Tiger, you want me to come by for a couple of weeks? I'll come by. We'll hit some balls. Not play every day, but we'll hit some balls and get you back to where you need to be, and then we can go attack it. Maybe play a few tournaments next year." But he did talk about what it was like walking down 18. with Tiger at St. Andrews. It's possibly the last time. Now, Tiger didn't stand What happens every I know you don't know this, but the tradition is for you on that bridge on 18. It's a famous shot where guys stop. Jack Nicklaus, the last time he played at St. Andrews, he stopped. He took pictures, and everybody had a picture. He waved and all that stuff. Arnold Palmer did that as well. There are some famous pictures of people on the bridge. Tiger didn't stop. But Joe LaCava talked about what it was like walking on 18 at St. Andrews with Tiger.
My first point is to stay the right or stay behind and let him enjoy the moment. You know, he appreciated that moment a bunch. You know, he gets the history of golf. He loves St. Andrews. He loves everything about the golf tournament. The fact that he won there twice, the home of golf, the whole nine yards. I mean, part of him obviously is very disappointed the way he played. He's 9 over par. That's not the way he wants to finish up on Friday afternoon. He'd prefer it to be Sunday afternoon in contention. I get that part of it. But he's smart enough, and now he's old enough and wise enough to appreciate the moment, the standing ovation on both sides, the whole nine yards, giving the tip of the hat over the bridge. It was a phenomenal moment. You know, like I said, it would be one thing if we're trying to make the cut. Yeah, you got to get back there, and you don't want to embarrass yourself. He had a good chip with a 4-iron up there about 3.5-4 feet, and then obviously you're hoping he makes the cut, which he doesn't. But it didn't ruin the moment. I thought it was a fantastic moment for him in golf.
When did you realize that you weren't going to be competitive at the Open Championship?
Well, it's one of those things where we just never got anything going the first day. It wasn't like he played poorly. Obviously, you make double on the first hole, hitting the divot, no excuse. He's hitting divots before. But the putting just didn't seem to be, the short game wasn't quite there. I think he's working so hard to get stronger and healthier. You know, he's working on his long game. He's working on his endurance. And I just think the short game has been neglected a little bit at this point, and that showed over there. But you never give up. You know, we're sitting there 6 over par on the first tee, the second day. You're still thinking you can shoot 6 under par and make the cut. You know, the putt's going to be even par. So you're still optimistic, but then we got to the turn at, you know, 7 or 8 over, you knew it was over. So you just try to enjoy the last 9 holes.
It says Joe LaCava on the Dan Patrick Show. On the Dan Patrick Show. Joe LaCava talking about Tiger coming back for the Hero, which is months away, and then possibly playing three or four tournaments, a couple tournaments to get ready for the Masters. And maybe he'll get back into form. We'll see.
Do you think Tiger, I don't know, you would know if he's even discussed it, he's 4 years away from when you can play in the Champions. Do you think he'll play on the Champions Tour?
He might. He might. I mean, if he can't compete anymore on the regular tour, there's a chance. Yeah, I could see him because he's going to have a lot of friends up there, and he can be more competitive than he will be on the tour. And you know, you can take carts, and you can, you know, with his leg and everything else, there's a chance that he could that'll prolong. Now he's so
rich.
Well, he's not that. No, he's so proud that he might be like, that's the senior tour. It's not the same.
Yeah, I don't know the financial situation for all those guys, if some of them are playing because they have to. But I just wondered if he would decide, you know what, I'm done with golf now. I don't need to go out there and play when that time period comes up. Yeah. Like, I get playing in the majors, playing in some tournaments on the regular tour. Because, you know, you're Tiger Woods, one of the greats in the game. You want to be out there. But as far as regularly playing on the Champions Tour, I wonder. I'd actually be surprised if he did it.
This, I think, actually happened when we come back. Why men should not write advice columns. Like Dear Abby, you know, those things.
Men can't be in those positions to give advice?
Well, here's an example of why. I'll have that for you on the other side right here. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about what? Do you think that there were any Coors Lights consumed yesterday?
I think quite a few were.
It's so good. It's so clean. It's so refreshing. I feel
so blue.
So blue. Look at today, my homage, I'm wearing blue. You know why? Because I'm keeping Texas chill today. I'm going to keep Texas chill up at playing golf today, and it's going to be a great, great, great day. But every day's a great day when you got a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Look, if you're looking for the best way to keep Texas chill, you want to have fun, anything that you're doing, for me, anything that I do, it just is better. It's just better with a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, period, exclamation point. I mean, you can't argue this, really. There are some things that are just better all the time. You know what's better all the time? when you have a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light in your hand. Then it's just better than if you didn't, period. So be like me. Drink a nice, cool, clean, refreshing Coors Light. Keep Texas chill with Coors Light, baby.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
So I went to the game last night with a couple of college buddies, a buddy of mine running a company, president of a company. That's what happens if you go to Knoxville. You run companies.
Didn't happen to you.
You run companies.
It didn't happen to you.
No. Not everybody. I didn't say everybody.
You said that's what happens when we go to Knox.
Craig Bean and Kevin Fornes and their wives. It was wonderful. It was great. Got to see him. I went to the Gallagher. You don't know what this is about. The Gallagher suite for the first time. And it is awesome.
Oh, look at that.
It's in the corner. Yes.
John talking about going to a suite.
Surprise. My buddy got me the tickets. And
your buddy got you tickets? That never happens.
So, anyway.
Go ahead.
Anyway, this Gallagher thing is all. They have prime rib and pastas and ice cream and hot dog, everything you could possibly want. It is really neat. You pay one price and you can eat the whole game. It was really awesome. Anyway, I've never been there before. So, but if you get a chance to go to the Gallagher suite, go do it, people. Do it. he sent me a couple of different articles. Now, one of them was back in the 50s that we'll play. We'll talk about in a little bit.
Okay.
You know, and this is a real newspaper article from the 50s. This one is another newspaper article. You can see it's out of a newspaper. And it's why men should not write advice columns. Here was the advice column. Here's a woman writes in. Dear John, I hope you can help me. The other day, I set off for work, leaving my husband in the house watching TV. My car stalled, and then it broke down about a mile down the road. I had to walk back to get my husband's help. When I got home, I couldn't believe my eyes. He was in our bedroom with the neighbor's daughter.
Oof.
I'm 32, my husband is 34, and the neighbor's daughter is 19. We've been married for 10 years. When I confronted him, he broke down and admitted that they have been having an affair for the past 6 months. He won't go to counseling, and I'm afraid. I'm a wreck, and I need advice urgently. Can you help? Sincerely, Sheila. And here's the response. Dear Sheila, a car stalling after being driven a short distance can be caused by a variety of faults with the engine. Start by checking that there is no debris in the fuel line. If it is clear, check the vacuum pipes and hoses on the intake manifold, and also check all grounding wires. If none of these approaches solves the problem, it could be that the fuel pump itself is faulty, causing low delivery pressure to the injectors. I hope this helps.
Is this guy like you where he only reads like the first couple sentences of an article
and
never got to the other part?
Yeah. I kind of feel like that isn't – I don't think he got the gist of the conversation, but he did help, right?
He did help with the car, and if the car was okay, she would have never known. So her life would have been fine, right?
Right. She'd have never known.
Attack a problem you can control.
That's right. You can't control your husband and the 19-year-old.
But if the car was fine, your life would be a lot better.
Right.
First, you would have gotten to your location, and you wouldn't know that your husband's a cheater.
So that's a little different than Abby would have approached it, probably.
I don't need that article. I've heard you and Lance give advice. I know why men shouldn't give advice on this show.
That is. Yeah. If you need any advice, then just call in. 1-3780-3776 and we can help. Now, you have an issue with me for some reason?
Yeah. I always have issues.
I know you have issues with me. But this one
isn't even an issue. I just found it interesting. John, if you don't know, you should though. John is a person who has good friends in a lot of places. He happens to have a friend, namely Alonzo Highsmith, who has been an NFL executive, former Oiler, former Miami Hurricane. And he's good friends with John for some reason. I don't really know why, but he is. So when, and he's been in multiple stops around the league, Cleveland, Seattle. So when he goes to one of those stops, he's a nice guy and gives John stuff from those places. John has Brown stuff. Do you have Seahawks stuff too?
I do.
And you now have Miami stuff.
My because, team. Because, My no, Canes.
No, we'll get to that too. Alonzo's now the general manager of for the football program because Miami's investing a lot of money and a lot of resources, and Alonzo going home wants to help that process along. So thankful, we're all thankful for him if you're a Miami fan. So because Alonzo's now in Miami, John got more free stuff. John, I don't know how much you got, but you taunted the group chat and mostly me with a picture of you wearing a Miami hat and going, that's my team, that's my Canes, and I told you it's a disgrace, so on and so forth. Whatever you might expect in group chat occurred after he took that picture. John wearing a hat. So I don't know what changed your mind, but a couple of days later you go, hey, what's your shirt size and large? I go, shirt size. I go, large. I was like, okay, maybe I'm getting something. So the first day I walk in here, there's a hat and a shirt. I'm like, awesome, John, stuff from the Miami program. In fact, an actual hat from the baseball team. I'm like, cool, thanks. At the end of the show on Monday, I flip the hat over, and there's a ring of dirt in the hat.
Oh, well, that wouldn't have been mine. It might have been Alonzo's.
So, okay.
So I stole the hat from Alonzo.
So you stole
it. Just so you know. So, I did. It wasn't like he brought you that hat.
I know he didn't.
So he was wearing the hat. He put it on the table at Wildcat. I grabbed it and I put it on and I was like, this is mine now. Uh-huh. And the intent was to give it to you because I don't wear those kind of hats.
You don't wear hats generally at all unless you're out there golfing.
Right.
And it's going to be a curved bill. Right. So that's the hat you took a picture in?
That's the hat I took a picture in.
So did you play in it in Wildcat?
No, okay. I did not play in it.
So
I just drank in it. That's all.
Okay.
At Wildcat.
Okay. But either way, whether it's Alonzo's dirty forehead because he's out there sweating, or your dirty forehead, there's a ring of dirt.
Well, then wash the hat.
No, you wash the hat.
No, I ain't washing the hat. You don't give
me. Why are you giving me a dirty hat?
I'm giving you a hat that stole.
That was pre-worn?
I stole for you.
So you stole a hat.
I committed a crime for you.
So you didn't. So you didn't give me anything of yours, except maybe the shirt.
The shirt.
But it's a hat he was wearing.
I asked him to get you a shirt.
And I appreciate that from Alonzo and yourself. But you gave me a dirty hat.
I didn't know it was dirty, first of all. I thought it was brand new because I didn't know that he had been wearing it. But he did wear it to Wildcat, and I stole it.
So you knew he wore it?
Well, yeah, of course he wore it. Why would it be at Wildcat if he wasn't wearing it?
So why are you giving me a hat that someone else wore?
Well, I'm giving you the hat that someone else wore because it's the kind of hat that you like. If you don't want the hat, then throw the hat.
It's not.
Well, actually, I thought the hat would be more of something that you would put on a shelf.
Once again, I appreciate the gesture.
I don't even know if it fits you. I have seven and a half.
It actually did fit, which seven is and a half remarkable. I do. So does he. We have big heads. Right. That's how it works sometimes. But there's a clear.
I don't know about that.
Dirt ring. So not only was it a hat gifted, it was a hat you stole and gave to me.
Stole.
RJ, I need to step in.
Okay. So, I stole for you.
So he gave me or stole from someone a pre-worn hat that had. Clearly already been worn.
I didn't know. I thought it was a new hat for him. I'm sure it was new.
Well,
maybe not if it had a ring of dirt in it.
Well, it's not a giant ring, but you can tell it's been worn. Because, you know, it's out in the summer.
So it's got a dirty head.
Well, he's out there sweating in Houston. That's kind of how that stuff works.
Well, maybe, but.
So, RJ, you were my third person I'm trying this case on. Now I have new information. I initially just thought John wore a hat and gave me a dirty ass hat. But it turns out he stole a hat and gave me a dirty ass hat. So there is a difference.
Right. I wouldn't wear that hat.
You wore it in a group chat.
Well, I put it on and took a picture of it just to
taunt you. So are you sure you didn't? It wasn't your sweat on the hat?
No, okay. I wasn't sweating. I was drinking Coors Lights inside a cold Wildcat clubhouse.
So, RJ, I tried this case with people I know, and they both said it's a terrible gift because of the situation. Where do you stand on being not even gifted, but a hat being stolen that was pre-worn and given to you?
Now, what did the hat look like?
It's the actual baseball hat that the Miami baseball team wears.
It's white with the
it's cursive, got a flat brim.
The cursive M for the Miami. Okay. Yeah. It's a nice hat, yes. But it's also
pre-worn and stolen.
And dirty.
Right.
Yeah, not a great gift.
It is a great. Oh, Dell is kind of being ungrateful, no?
Yes.
I mean, you went out of your way to steal it for him.
I can understand, if I were to see the hat, I would probably look it up. If I see the hat and, You know, I'm like, oh, like that's a very nice hat.
It's a very
John,
nice hat.
I feel like you maybe could have bought him.
I'm not even asking for him.
I ain't buying him no baseball hat.
If you wanted to go that
if
far.
I stole it for him, or if Alonzo would bring him one, then I'll give it to him. I ain't buying him nothing.
Has Alonzo asked about this hat since it's been gone? Like, the
has he asked
hat?
You
has
why
he
you
asked,
stole
like,
his
hey,
hat?
Did you see a hat?
No,
like,
he thought I was keeping it for me.
Oh. So. Okay.
Little did he know. Now everybody knows.
Between them, they don't particularly care about right. the hat so much. But it's a stolen.
Yeah, it's a stolen hat.
Used, dirty hat.
Dirty hat.
Yeah.
And all you're going to tell him is wash the hat?
Well, if not, put it on the shelf. I thought it was a shelf hat anyway. No. Well, you might wear it.
I wear hats all the time.
I know you wear those kind of hats.
So
too.
Obviously I would wear it. I just.
Well, then wash it.
No, I'm not even a germaphobe, but the hat's out. I'm going to wash it and give it and donate it to someone. That's what I'll do. But for me, I see a ring around of dirt around that hat. Nah, I'm out.
Well,
I'm
yeah.
out.
Me too. I would be too.
You, yeah. See, I think I'm not. I don't think I'm unreasonable to go. Okay, that hat's not mine
You're being
anymore.
A little ungrateful though.
You stole a hat. I don't. Yeah, I don't have to be grateful.
Ungrateful.
Typical Dell. I just think so. That's the feedback. I'm ungrateful
yeah.
for you giving me a dirty hat.
Yeah, that's right.
That it wasn't even a gift. Oh, Alonzo, you got a hat for Dell. You just saw a hat on a table and stole it.
Stole it.
So it's
well,
like,
it was a good hat. Somebody else put it on. Oh, Dorr from University of Houston. He put it on and he goes, this is an awesome hat.
So three people wore the hat?
Well, he tried it on. You know how many people try on hats at Lids?
I know. When I
They try on hats all the time at Lids.
I understand. I try on it, but I know my hat size, so I don't really have to. But I get it. But when I look at the hat, usually the Lids hat doesn't have a ring of dirt.
You don't know. Somebody comes in there. Pigpen comes in there and puts it on.
No, I look at it and I make sure.
Three different people wore this hat.
Pigpen comes in. You don't know.
We don't know like if they have like, any hair problems.
713-780-3C. See how ungrateful?
Ungrateful.
I go out of my way, steal something for him, and then I get grilled for it.
Yeah, it's dirty.
Ungrateful.
And you stole. No,
ungrateful.
I'm not.
Ungrateful. University of Miami hat. The kind that you like. I knew that you. That's your kind of hat.
Did you know that I wouldn't like it dirty?
I had no idea it was dirty.
Three people wore. There's a chance.
No.
In the Houston Heat, there's a chance.
I thought it was brand new, actually.
I'm sure it's pretty. It looks pretty new. It just looks like someone wore it on the inside because there's a ring of dirt inside.
Well, that Alonzo dirty head. Wash your head, Alonzo.
And I will tell you, the hat hasn't even entered my house. I'm so skeeved out by it. It's still in my car.
Well, bring it in. I'll take it back.
No. I'm going to wash it and give it to someone.
Yo!
Donate. I'm going to donate it to a charity or something. Just put. Yeah, I go close to charity all the time. I'll do that. So you can't call me ungrateful.
Ungrateful.
I'm doing a good thing.
Ungrateful. No, I want it back. I'll give it to. I'll wash it and give it to JT. He wears those.
I'll give it to someone more deserving.
JT's got a little. He's got a little peanut head. 830 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Frank, you're first up on the other side talking about potential Astro trades. Right now, though, we're talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf and GiveMeTheVin.com. If you're looking, he's on tomorrow morning right here. And you know what? John Clay Wolf was so much fun. John Clay Wolf is just that show. It's the longest running show here on ESPN 97.5. And I'm going to tell you this, it just is, you won't believe what you hear from John Clay Wolf. And here's the thing, what I don't believe is, a guy will call in, okay, I got a 2017 F-150 with this and that and this and that, and John Clay Wolf can right off the top of his head give you a quote on it. I mean, that's pretty good. That is awesome. That is knowing your business. And John Clay Wolf knows his business. If you're looking for a great way to someone who knows what the value of cars are. And, oh, by the way, the value of cars are really high right now. So if you're looking to sell your vehicle, this is the time to do it because they're going to go down. They eventually will go down. When Detroit can start manufacturing more cars, then the used car market is going to dry up. This is the time to sell it. You want to sell your car? Go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fun sports. NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The people agree with me on this one. The people totally agree with me on this one. 713-780-3776. Frank has been waiting. He wants to talk about his Astros here. What's up, Frank?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. The Astros' first base seems to be a serious problem. I've heard a couple rumors. Would there be a couple guys that you would think, because we haven't had a good first baseman since shoot Craig Reynolds back in the 90s, and would you think, you know, Yuli, he's always saying, oh, I've got the diarrhea, and that's not good. And then, John, you brought up this Gallagher squeeze. Why would anybody want to go to see Ted Gallagher? The guy smashes watermelons and stuff. He's a terrible comedian. And I don't know if Mike Oxbig, do you know Mike Oxbig?
No.
Mike Oxbig? Do you know Mike Oxbig?
All right. Hit the button.
No. That was Dr. Evil.
Not the hang up button, the dump button.
There he is.
I mean, I don't know if RJ caught it, but
Dr. Evil.
You heard him? Okay. I don't care. You have to hit the button.
Did you hear Vanessa yesterday drop an S-bomb on the air?
No. What was it about?
She just casually said, oh, I don't, that ship is, you know, or something like that. I'm not about that ship or whatever she said. Yeah, she dropped an S-bomb right on the air. And now you can't, Doc, please call back.
Anytime.
We love Dr. Evil, but you can't drop. What did he say? A C what?
He said my is big. My C is big.
My C is big.
Like Mike Cox. And then he went on with the rest of it. But then he said it quickly so you didn't catch it. And then he was like, let me enunciate this time.
Do you know Mike C's big?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made sure that we heard it.
Yeah, Dr. Evil. That's ugly.
Frank.
Right? You can't say, like, Michael Hunt either. You can't do that kind of thing, right?
No. Are you going to keep testing the limits?
I'm not testing any limits. Okay. That's all I'm saying. You can't say that kind of stuff.
No.
But I knew he gave himself away a little early that it was Dr. Evil. I love that. I love Dr. Evil. Yeah. So he said we haven't had a good first baseman since
Craig Reynolds.
I don't know. Yuli won the batting title and gold glove last year.
Still ain't Craig Reynolds.
I don't know. Yuli helped win a title here.
I don't know. Is he Craig Reynolds, though?
And Jeff Bagwell?
Well, that is the
Hall of Famer.
The ridiculousness of what he was going after.
Yeah, we've had a couple of them. We've had a couple good ones. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. 713-780-3776. Jimbo Fisher said he respects Nick Saban. I have great respect for Nick Saban, he said. We saw each other at the SEC meetings at Destin. I have great respect for Nick, and I had a great friendship with Nick. I respect him very much. We all learn from different circumstances in which we have, and I have no ill will, no anything to him. I have great respect when we coached and done a lot of great things together. We're from the same part of the country. You know what I'm saying? But we never talked that way. We never called and talked and did anything. We're just like we always were. Unfortunately, our thing went public. Sometimes that happens in this world. Nothing is private anymore, is it?
Private? He said it in a public forum.
Yeah, they both were doing
it. What are we talking? It wasn't
one was at a dinner and the other one was at a press conference.
They weren't leaked text messages between the two of them.
No, it was. Unfortunately, it went public. You mean at your press conference?
The one you called to refute everything he said? Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, our thing went public.
Unfortunately, Nick said something very publicly, and I responded very publicly.
Right.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, Jimbo. He also, one guy was, I guess, taking notes when Jimbo was talking, and the guy was like, can you still... He goes, what are you talking about, Jim? Jimbo says, what are you talking about? I'm a dream. I give you guys real quick. I talk real fast. I'm a dream for a reporter. I get in and out, and I'm done.
Not for the person who has to write. Like, if Jimbo was the Texans head coach, the person who has to write those. People don't know, the Texans will email media members transcripts of interviews and press conferences. The person who would have to write that entire thing, I've seen – When I used to cover them daily, I'd see the interns who'd have to listen and write, listen back and write. It would be a miserable experience to do that for Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah. No. It would be Yeah, we got the. I got the full press conference here. I'm going to look for the sound bites from Jimbo. 840 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There were a lot of good. Actually, a lot of good stuff. Now, Anaya Smith not being there was not good.
No,
they actually left a chair empty for him. They brought a chair. They had a chair out there and left an empty chair there.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they said, you know what, man, kid made a mistake, and we're dealing with it. But that's all the comment that we're going to have. By all accounts, this Anaya Smith is not Anaya Smith. Yeah, unfortunately, it was. Unfortunately, he did it. He's going to have to explain it. He's an NFL player. He's got punt return skills that are off the charts. He's also a good wide receiver. He could be. I mean, Lance is going to break him down. I would imagine he could be a wide receiver 3 or 4 on an NFL team and an excellent special teams guy.
And the Aggies use him in the backfield too. It was him and Spiller and Devon Achane. I always mispronounce his last name. It may be Achane.
I thought it was Devon Achane.
Devon Achane or Achane. They had a good backfield, and now it'll be Achane and Spiller Smith whenever he comes back. But they use him in multiple ways. He's probably their most dynamic playmaker. It'll be interesting to see how long this particular indiscretion cost him as far as games.
Ah, first half.
First half first against half. Sam Houston?
Sam Houston.
Not even a game against?
Enough. That's enough. This was just, I mean, there was, I don't know, maybe a roach in the ashtray.
That's why he was speeding and drinking.
Trying to get home for workouts in the morning.
Ah.
He had to get home.
So under the influence and speeding with
it was a bad, it's a bad look.
It's a bad, it was a bad night for Mr. Smith.
It's a bad, bad look. So hopefully, he'll get through this and we'll see how long the suspension will go. So that is, it is unfortunate, but they did have a chair for him for whatever reason, empty chair.
Yeah, it's like when somebody is sick or passes away and they like have a jersey hanging up in the clubhouse. Why an empty chair?
I don't know. 843 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us. Here on the show, since it's a Friday, it's a holiday show. What the hell? We're going to do. I've got a 1950s article. This is an extract from a home economics book in 1950s. It was a little different time.
You think?
It was a little different time.
So women.
We will talk about it on the other side.
Does it just say make your husband
happy?
I would
like some women to actually call in during this segment and see how much they agree with or disagree with this.
Ooh.
Yeah, it would be great. If you're a female listening right now, we would love some feedback on this. You know, yesterday we had, what was his name, Andrew Tate?
Yes.
Andrew Tate on, and his thoughts on women. I thought he made some.
He just said, you don't get to go on girls' trips.
Right. You don't get to, you stay home. No girls' trips for you. I want you home. I don't want anybody to steal you. Mm-hmm. I don't want you tempted by those men out there.
He doesn't want you being tempted.
I thought he made some good points.
He doesn't want men attempting to steal you away. He compared women to cars.
Right. And we've got some. I mean, I think Andrew might agree with a lot of these things here.
We'll see.
We'll see on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Food and Rain Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Let's get Marty in here before we do this little story we're going to do. What's up, Marty?
Hey, what's up, guys? Granato, Melvin Diesel.
What's up, man?
Hey, I wanted to ask something about the World Cup. I know it's probably not y'all's specialty, but I had Glenn yesterday. I wanted to get on yesterday, but I didn't get the chance. But I would like to know y'all's take on this. You know, the America Manchester City game. I actually went to it, and it was a pretty fun game. You know, we didn't pack the stadium, but you know, it got close. I just wanted to know. I don't know if you guys saw the game at all, but, you know, games like that, do you think, and it was a great atmosphere, do you think that gives Houston a great possibility of having not only, like, a group stage of matches during the World Cup, but also playoff games or possibly the final? And also, I wanted to know, is ESPN 97.5 going to be, you know, something involved with the World Cup? I'd like to know your take. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
So, the final is going to fill up no matter, it doesn't matter where it is. Right?
I imagine that would be in L.A. or Dallas somewhere.
I think most
final.
Yeah, it would be nice. Suppose we get matches that are, you know, remote countries that really don't travel well. Maybe we won't fill it up. I don't know. I would hope that we'll fill up all our games.
I think World Cup games, I think they fill up.
I don't know.
People just want to go.
Matter of fact, I remember seeing Italy versus, wasn't packed.
When was it, during a COVID situation? Where they had to keep people distant?
Maybe that was it.
I think here, the city loves an event. Like, if you're telling them there's World Cup games, I think people will show up.
Yeah.
I think we're a good soccer city. I think people will go to those games no matter what. But yeah, if it's a Latin American country or it's on one of the major clubs, sure, a group stage or game, it'll certainly help. As far as the final, like, or knockout, there's a possibility for a knockout.
It's probably going to be Dallas.
As far as a final, you're probably looking at an LA Dallas. And if did New York get a, I think if New York got one, got a venue, they'll probably be in contention too.
Yeah.
And remember, some of these knockout games will be in Canada and Mexico too, so it won't just be the U.S. cities. So there'll be a limited amount of them. But yeah, there's a shot.
LA got it too, so I think LA will probably get a.
LA will get a knockout round game, and probably a final or a semifinal.
Yep.
So, as far as
deep, I wouldn't hold my breath on a semifinal or a final.
Yeah, deep in the tournament, unlikely. But there's a shot. I just think because it's three host countries, the opportunities will be limited. Maybe we might get one in the second round or something.
It'll be nice to get knockout games. It'll be nice. I think we will too. Yeah. No, we're a good soccer city, and it's actually this is an easy place to get to. It's centralized in the United States. You know, so you can get easier to the West and the East Coast from Houston, and with all,
which is important for the teams involved.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So maybe Dallas is also that way. So, and Dallas has got a bigger stadium, so you can. I wouldn't even be surprised if the finals are in Dallas.
I can see that.
Yep.
I mean, they may want to go L.A. The Rose Bowl hosted the last final in this country. It won't be at the Rose Bowl. It'll be at SoFi if it is the final. But I can see it. Yep. I see an L.A., Dallas, or New York situation.
Yep. So back in the 50s, there was great advice for women. There was a book, a home economics book. And here's some tips to look after your husband. And let's see if in 2022, if these still hold, right? I mean, these are tips from the 1950s. 1950s was a great time, right? Well, not for everybody.
No, not for everybody.
Not exactly for everybody. Women had a place in the hierarchy.
They were told their place.
Yeah, pretty much. They were put in their place. Mm-hmm. Quite a bit. And here's an extra. This is a home economics. Did you ever take a home economics class?
Actually, I did. But not in high school. It was like in the seventh or eighth grade.
I've never taken one because I'm not going to need that, right?
Why not?
Who's going to make the sandwiches?
Right? You cook, Sugo.
I cook. No, actually, yeah. I'm the cook.
You
in our
make
family.
The sandwiches.
So here's an extra tips to look after your husband. Have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal on time. This is a way of letting him know that you've been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs.
Oh,
I think that's a good...
That's nice.
Prepare yourself. Take 15 minutes to rest so you'll be refreshed when he arrives. Touch up your makeup. Put a ribbon in your hair.
Does she need to go to bed with her makeup on, wait for her husband to fall asleep, take it off, and then get up and before he gets up and put her makeup back on?
Well, maybe.
I've seen that in a lot of TV shows.
No, yeah, that was
they,
in...
That's what they... Mad Men, right?
Yeah, and what's her name? The Marvelous
Mrs. Maisel.
Mrs. Maisel,
yeah.
Clear away the clutter. Make one last trip through the main part of the house just before your husband arrives, gathering up school books, toys, paper, etc. Prepare the children. take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces if they're small, comb their hair, and if necessary, change their clothes. Mm-hmm. So when dad gets home, the kids look good.
You don't want a messy house or messy kids.
Minimize all noise. At the time of his arrival, eliminate all noise of washer, dryer, dishwasher, vacuum. Try to encourage the children to be quiet. I think these are all, these are dead on. This is what should happen when I get home, honey.
Good luck with that for you.
Some don'ts. Don't greet him with problems or complaints. Don't complain if he's late for dinner. Count this as minor compared with what he might have gone through that day.
Yeah, do you really want to divulge the issues you've had in your day on him? He's busy. He was busy all day dealing with the grind of work.
Or, in my case, you know, playing golf and drinking.
Yeah, you're very unique. But even still, you don't want to hear about problems.
No, I don't want to hear
back.
About,
maybe you didn't have a good
drinking
round.
All day, do I? Yeah.
Do you want to hear about her problems when you had a bad round?
No.
No?
I don't want to hear that. Make him comfortable. Have him lean back in a comfortable chair or suggest he lie down in the bedroom. Have a cool, warm drink ready for him.
Cool or warm drink?
Cool or warm, depending on.
Depending on the weather and the time of the year.
Yeah. Listen to him. You may have a lot of things to do. Let him talk first. See.
Let him talk.
These are all really, really good tips for you women out there that are listening right now. Make the evening his. Never complain if he does not take you out to dinner or to other types of entertainment. Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressure, his need to come home and relax. That's good, then. Yeah. The goal? Try to make your home a place of peace and order when your husband can renew himself in body and spirit. These are great tips. Great, great tips for you ladies out there. If you have any thoughts on it, you're more than welcome to get in.
I mean, if you complain about an unhappy home, maybe try some of these things out.
Try some of these.
Yeah.
If your house, maybe your marriage isn't going the way you
expected
you
it to.
You thought it would.
Maybe you're not giving enough.
Yeah.
Try harder, I believe, is what we would say.
713-780-3776.
Oh, man.
Ladies.
That's about 70 plus years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Things have changed. But maybe they shouldn't have changed, right, John?
No, but look at how many. Look at the divorce rate now. Look at the, the strife. There's so many marriages that have so many problems. If they could simplify it like this.
A lot of you are quitters. If you could stick with it and just try to do things that make your husband happy, maybe your marriages wouldn't fail.
Yeah.
According to this article. I mean, I'm not married, so I can't speak on it. But if you're complaining about it, you're clearly not doing enough.
I have been married. I mean, this is my second. First one didn't work out because she didn't do any of these things.
Okay. Is Wendy doing these things? Or are you doing the things?
No, but no. Wendy likes to have a happy husband.
Orderly home?
An orderly home. Oh, no. She's a clean freak. Yeah. So all of these guys. Lance is asking for a copy of the book.
Not our Lance, right?
Yeah, our Lance.
No, it's not Lance Erline.
It's not Lance.
It's not Lance Erline.
It's not Lance Erline. It's not Lance Erline. All right, 8:57.
Who should women make their idol? Like, Justin has a suggestion. June Cleaver? Model yourself after June Cleaver?
Donna Reed. June Cleaver.
Mm-hmm. Some of the great TV moms of the past. Yeah.
Laura Petrie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be better if you look like Laura Petrie or Donna Reed.
More June Cleavers, less Skylers. Your life would go better.
Yeah. Skyler? No. Frank,
yeah.
Yeah, we don't.
She was a busybody, right, John?
Mind your business, woman.
Well, I'm over here running a drug empire. Keep your mouth shut.
Stay out of my business.
Yeah.
Just have dinner ready when I get home.
Stop gurgling on water. Stop talking to me when I'm selling drugs. You're always asking all these questions. Leave me alone.
That's the problem. That's the 2020 household versus the 1950.
One guy's a meth king, and the woman's a busybody.
Right.
Both bad things, I guess.
Yeah. No. Neither are positive. Now, I didn't say that men are perfect, but you know what?
No. But even if he wasn't perfect, is it your place to judge him?
No. You just mind your own business.
I gotta write one of those a disclaimer. Nothing of what I said, I believe, by the way. But even still.
Oh, I would love to hear Nicole talking about this article.
I mean, we got to point out, it is an era gone by. None of that stuff is what a modern household is and probably shouldn't be. It's a balance, right, John?
Right. It is a balance.
You talk, you cooperate together, and you make it work.
Together. And listen, let him talk first. That's all.
In this job,
try to be quiet.
All the talking
when he gets home.
But wait a minute, all the talking you do, you still want to talk first?
No, I'm tired of talking. No talking is good. Quiet is good.
Yeah, no one talk to me is what I'm asking for.
You don't want anyone.
Yeah, it doesn't have to do anything to do with the wife. No one talk to me.
You don't want any talk. 859 ESPN 97.5. This is just some helpful hints for your marriage.
Ladies, this is satire.
Yeah. No, what?
For me, at least.
Well, what? I thought that was a pretty good article. I thought they made some good points.
I just always feel like I need to disclaimer. Disclaimer.
I thought they made some good points. I don't know.
If you say so.
That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is this. Jeff Aronoff, he makes a lot of good points. Jeff Aronoff's going to help you pick out exactly what you need. Jeff Aronoff is going to help you design. So you can take the architect out of it. Whether you're building an outdoor kitchen or patio, Jeff Aronoff can do that for you. He can design the whole thing. He can help you pick. I mean, he's got books of different tile, different marble, granite, whatever it is that you're looking for. You want to put in countertops. So the rock look for a kitchen, an outdoor kitchen, is awesome. And he can do that as well. I mean, build an entire outdoor kitchen. I don't know what you're doing with your backyard, but what we did with our backyard with Jeff Aronoff helped us sell our home, helped us create a better value for our home. And again, if you're not doing anything, if you've been in your home for 10, 15, 20 years, guess what? You need to upgrade. You need new cabinets. You need new sinks. You need new bathtubs. You need new showers. You need new countertops because they're getting old and they're not going to, it's not going to last. Okay. And you're not going to sell your home for as much as you could possibly get. So you got a big job. Jeff Aronoff is here for you. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite. 713-880-2822.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.